Good morning. This morning I'll be reading from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine, and your heart will thrill with joy, for merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you, the camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, Happy New Year. It's good to be here with you again. If we haven't met before, my name's Tim. I serve just down the road at First United Methodist Church of Dunedin. But it's good to be here with you today. Pastor Keith has been my friend and mentor for a lot of years. And so yeah, it was good to come in and let him take a break for a little bit. So, you know, today, I'm just going to tell you a story. Well, a couple of different stories, but the first one just begins like this. There I was. Sometime, I don't know, during my 30th year of life, and I don't remember the time, I don't remember the day, I don't actually remember the month. All I remember is this moment very, very clearly. I was sitting in my living room on my couch, and I was watching something on Netflix or TV or something. I don't even remember what it was that I was watching, but all of a sudden, my life changed forever. I don't remember what I was watching. Don't remember the situation on the screen that triggered this life-changing moment. But I do know that I came face to face all of a sudden with a startling, unsettling, kind of rude truth. My dad was right about everything. Yeah, that's that moment that just, it left me stunned that it was true, and stunned that I had just made that admission of my own free will, right? Specifically, in that moment, my dad was right about one thing. He had always warned me through my teenage years and my young adulthood that, you know, the things that we watch on movies and TVs and it's all stuff that is designed to kind of manipulate us emotionally, to make us feel a certain way, to make us believe certain things. And I was like, no, it's just entertainment. Like, that's what we're here for, just to be entertained. And I don't know what I saw, but in that moment, I was like, wow, they're really messing with me right here. They're doing something to me. And so that's just a small bit of the little truth. It triggered this awakening in me where something that I had finally heard over years and years and years of my life became real to me. But the TV thing was kind of just like the beginning. It was the catalyst that brought me to the my dad was right about everything revelation. Because all of a sudden, because my dad being right became a viable option in my mind, I began to kind of examine all the areas of my life through this possibility. Like, man, my dad might have been right about that. And as I examined all of these areas of my life, the status of my finances, the reality of past relationships that I had, the way I conducted myself throughout my education, the list goes on and on. All of these things, which were most definitely areas of my life that my dad had offered advice, tried to coax me along in a certain direction. All of these areas were problems. Problems that led to the greatest revelation of all. See, not only was my dad right about everything, but I was the source of all of my problems. Talk about a tough one to swallow. Like, why did it take me 30 years to figure that out? But I guess it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there. It's just to get there, right? And this was arguably the most important revelation that I ever had in my entire life, outside, of course, of the revelation to myself that Jesus Christ was Lord. But have you ever had these moments where it's like the light got turned on and all of a sudden you realized it was dark? Where you took a drink and all of a sudden you realized for the first time, like, oh, wow, I was thirsty. Or all of a sudden you put the puzzle together and you can see the whole picture. Everything begins to make sense. Today is a day in the life of the church where we celebrate this kind of moment, this kind of lights on, puzzle put together, cool drink of water on a hot day moments. It's called the Epiphany Sunday. And it's the day that we celebrate the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what that means is we celebrate the awakening of humanity to what God desires for us as a human community and how he's acting to accomplish that in our world. And so our second story, it begins quite some time before the time of our scripture reading, which came from the prophet Isaiah. You see, in the beginning, God created humans as a single community. But it didn't take very long. You might know the story. It didn't take very long for humans to reject God, reject this idea of being one community, and to fraction off, become many different nations, all worshiping false gods and delving further and further and further into the darkness of sin. And then from among those nations, God called one man, a man named Abraham. And he told Abraham, hey, this world's a mess, but through you and through your descendants, I am going to bless all the nations of the world. Sounds like a pretty big promise. But this is what God did. The way that God did this was he formed this nation called Israel. And here's an important thing for us to really understand about this story. And really, it's important so that we can understand our entire Bibles. God loved Israel. But God didn't only love Israel. His plan was to use Israel to influence all of the nations around them. And he was going to accomplish this by giving them some really strict and to us very strange laws. Laws that would set them apart in very distinct ways from their neighbors. That would cause the world around them to wonder, to think, say, what is up with Israel? We've got to go and find out. And from an ancient worldview, it wasn't just Israel, but this God that they worship. We need to find out about their God. This was an invitation for the nations around Israel to come and see who is this God that they talk so much about. And so Israel was really the first missionaries to the world. But Israel, didn't do a super good job. They weren't very good influencers. They were really good at being influenced instead by the nations around them. And they get conquered by a nation called Babylon, and they get carted off to live as exiles far away from their home. But one day, After Babylon was taken over by another nation called Persia, the king decided to allow the Israelites to go home. And it's here, it's in this time when God's people, the Israelites, are returning to their land, that the prophet Isaiah spoke to them. And he said, "Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine, and your heart will thrill with joy, for merchants from around the world will come to you, and they will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you, the camels of Midian and Ephah, and the people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord." For these people, man, these words must have sounded so, so good. They were the underdogs, those who had been oppressed, those who had been conquered. It'd be like someone coming back from the future, landing in modern-day Detroit, going on TV and saying, "Hey guys, 2023, the Detroit Lions are going to win the Super Bowl. I've seen it. It's something that has never happened. Something that people have waited for generations and generations. Just like the Israelites have just waited and waited for this promise of God that it would be this land of milk and honey. Just waiting. When is this going to happen?" And all of a sudden the prophet shows. Says these words to them. "This is our time." And they're like, "Man, we just wanted to go home, but Isaiah says that lowly Israel will be exalted by all the other nations. Can you believe it? Our walls are still falling down. Not only that, the other nations are going to come. They're going to bring us all these blessings, all of this wealth. Can you believe it?" See, what Isaiah has done is Isaiah has reminded Israel of their original purpose. And he's telling the people that God is going to bring this all to fruition. But I think that they, probably like you and me, skipped over verse 2 or just read it a little bit too quickly. Some translations say a thick darkness will cover the earth. Maybe they hoped that this was something that had already happened. Certainly their experience of living in the world that they lived in would testify to this being a past tense type of situation. But indeed, what would come would be an even deeper darkness than they had yet experienced. And that darkness would be the Roman Empire, which spread to every corner of the known world over the next 400 years. And coincidentally, it was in those 400 years that the scriptures go silent. There's no word from God. The promise seems to have been lost. And yet, in the midst of the darkness, when the words of the prophet Isaiah were just a whisper from the past, something incredible happened. The light came. Born in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea, right in the heart of Israel. And when the light of the world was born, A very real and tangible light appeared. And that light was noticed by not the people that you'd expect. So we're going to fast forward out of our Old Testament into the New Testament, to the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and this is what it says. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. And so he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Well, in Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. And then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So some men, we've been trained to call them wise men or even kings, as the song that we sing says. They see something in the sky. It's a star, a light. Now, know this. These men, more properly called magi, they're pagan sorcerers or magicians or astrologers. That was kind of all like one job description back then. And they come from the east. What was east of Israel? Persia, aka the nation formerly known as Babylon, also known as the bad guys, right? The place where Israel was held captive for generations. And their religion held a belief that when a new star appears, that's the signal that a king has been born. So, inquiring minds as they were, they took this as an invitation. The light said, come and see. And so they followed that light to Israel. When they got there, like, oh, there's already a king here. We should go and talk to him. He probably knows more than us. But this is really important. King Herod, he doesn't know. The scribes and the chief priests, also known elsewhere and later as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they don't know. And so this great prophecy that was given to Israel when they left Babylon is coming true, and the only people who see it are people from Babylon. The light has come, the king is born, and those who are the first to understand what is happening are some pagan sorcerers from the land of the former oppressor. It's odd. It doesn't seem quite right. Until we remember God's promise and God's purpose for Israel, they're meant to shine, to bear the light of God, and to bring the nations to praise the Lord. And so it began in Bethlehem. with gifts of frankincense, of gold, and of myrrh from the nations. And with that, the recognition of Jesus as King. The light came on. The revelation was made. An epiphany occurred. This baby boy, this Jesus, is Lord. And this was just the beginning. This child, worshipped by pagan magicians, would change the world forever. Through his life, death, and resurrection, the fullness of his identity would be revealed, and people from every race, nation, and tongue would be invited to come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and experience the life-altering, world-transforming gift of kneeling down before King Jesus. And if you're here today, you've either had this moment in your life already, or you are seeking this moment. A moment where all of a sudden everything makes sense. A moment where the lights go on. A moment where you admit that your answers in life so far have only created more and more problems, and that maybe, just maybe, your dad was right. And by dad, I mean your Father in heaven. But if you've already had an epiphany, if you've already said, Jesus, you are the King of my heart, then this is a great time for you. It's the second day of the year. Maybe you already had an epiphany yesterday morning when you woke up and you realized that once you hit a certain age, alcoholic beverages and staying up past midnight doesn't agree with you anymore. That's a good epiphany to have. But today, what if today the light was turned on about why you said yes to Jesus in the first place? You see, what if the reason that you made Jesus the King of your heart was really not all about you? And I'm going to tell you that it wasn't. God didn't call Abraham and say, hey, Abraham, leave your family and follow me so that you can die rich and go to heaven. He said, follow me, and through you, I will bless the nations. He didn't say to Israel, hey, I'm going to free you from slavery. Follow me through the wilderness, and I'll make you the most powerful nation, and then you'll all go to heaven when you die. He said, I will make you a priestly nation, or in other words, a nation that represents me to the world. You see, Jesus called you for so much more than we often give him credit. Jesus doesn't want to just be the King of your heart. Jesus wants to be the King of the whole world. And your job, my job, everyone who followed the light and found Jesus at the end of it has a responsibility to make the name of Jesus known to the world around them. I mean, this church, Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, has a mission statement, and it doesn't say we exist to get into heaven. It says leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ by sitting with them now, by sharing our story, by listening to their story, by setting ourselves aside for a moment to allow the King to have a word, by inviting people to come come and see. And making sure the thing that we are inviting them to see is the reflection of God, the light of the world. But if you're new to this thing, if you've just followed a star here or something, it's simple. The invitation is just come and see. You can be the judge. Is this Jesus and his people? Is it the king and the nation for me? Because I think that it is. We all think that it is. So we just want you to let us show you why. So let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for the gift of a baby boy born in a manger. A boy that was Lord at birth and continues to be Lord of our hearts, Lord of the world for all of eternity. We thank you that you thought a people like us were worthy to carry your name. And so God, help us. Help us to be a people that is inviting, that says to the world around us, in our community here in Palm Harbor, in our neighborhoods, even in our homes. Help us to be a people that says, come and see. Help us to be a people who, in what others see, it's the glorious light of love and life that shines from your face through us. Lord, help us to set ourselves aside. And help us to be made brand new. We love you and we thank you for the gift of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.